with God for David, and it's never made you angry before. Please don't accuse me or my family like this. I have no idea what's going on."
"Ahimelech," Saul said, "you and your whole family are going to die." Saul shouted to his bodyguards, "These priests of the Lord helped David. They knew he was running away, but they didn't tell me. Kill them." But the king's officers would not attack the priests of the Lord. Saul turned to Doeg, who was from Edom, and said, "Kill the priests." On that same day, Doeg killed 85 priests. Then he attacked the town of Nob, where the priests had lived, and he killed everyone there, men, women, children, and babies. He even killed their cattle, donkeys, and sheep. Only Abiathar escapes from Nob. Ahimelech's son, Abiathar, was the only one who escaped. He ran to David and told him, "Saul has murdered the priests at Nob." David answered, "That day when I saw Doeg, I knew he would tell Saul, 'Your family died because of me. Stay here. Isn't the same person trying to kill both of us? Don't worry, you'll be safe here with me.'" David rescues the town of Keilah. Chapter 23. One day some people told David, "The Philistines keep attacking the town of Keilah and stealing grain from the threshing place." David asked the Lord, "Should I attack these Philistines?" "Yes," the Lord answered, "attack them and rescue Keilah." But David's men said, "Look, even here in Judah we're afraid of the Philistines. We will be terrified if we try to fight them at Keilah." David asked the Lord about it again. "Leave right now," the Lord answered. "I will give you victory over the Philistines at Keilah." David and his men went there and fiercely attacked the Philistines. They killed many of them, then led away their cattle and rescued the people of Keilah. Meanwhile, Saul heard that David was in Keilah. "God has let me catch David," Saul said. "David is trapped inside a walled town where the gates can be locked." Saul decided to go there and surround the town in order to trap David and his men. He sent messengers who told the towns and villages, "Send men to serve in Saul's army." By this time, Abiathar had joined David in Keilah and had brought along everything he needed to get answers from God. David heard about Saul's plan to capture him, and he told Abiathar, "Let's ask God what we should do." David prayed, "Lord God of Israel, I was told that Saul is planning to come here. What should I do? Suppose he threatens to destroy the town because of me. Would the leaders of Keilah turn me over to Saul, or is he really coming? Please tell me, Lord." "Yes, he will come," the Lord answered. David asked, "Would the leaders of Keilah hand me and my soldiers over to Saul?" "Yes, they would," the Lord answered. David and his 600 men got out of there fast and started moving from place to place. Saul heard that David had left Keilah, and he decided not to go after him. Jonathan says David will be king. David stayed in hideouts in the hill country of Ziph Desert. Saul kept searching, but God never let Saul catch him. One time, David was at Horesh in Ziph Desert. He was afraid because Saul had come to the area to kill him. But Jonathan went to see David, and God helped him encourage David. "Don't be afraid," Jonathan said. "My father Saul will never get his hands on you. In fact, you're going to be the next king of Israel, and I'll be your highest official. Even my father knows it's true." They both promised the Lord that they would always be loyal to each other. Then Jonathan went home, but David stayed at Horesh. David escapes from Saul. Some people from the town of Ziph went to Saul at Gibeah and said, "Your Majesty, David has a hideout not far from us. It's near Horesh, somewhere on Mount Hakilah, south of Jeshimon. If you come, we will help you catch him." Saul told them, "You've done me a big favor, and I pray that the Lord will bless you. Now please do just a little more for me. Find out exactly where David is, as well as where he goes and who has seen him there. I've been told that he's very tricky. Find out where all his hiding places are and come back when you're sure. Then I'll go with you. If he is still in the area or anywhere among the clans of Judah, I'll find him." The people from Ziph went back ahead of Saul, and they found out that David and his men were still south of Jeshimon in the Maon Desert. Saul and his army set out to find David. But David heard that Saul was coming, and he went to a place called The Rock, one of his hideouts in Maon Desert. Saul found out where David was and started closing in on him. Saul was going around a hill on one side, and David and his men were on the other side, trying to get away. Saul and his soldiers were just about to capture David and his men when a messenger came to Saul and said, "Come quickly! The Philistines are attacking Israel and taking everything." Saul stopped going after David and went back to fight the Philistines. That's why the place is called Escape Rock. David left and went to live in the hideouts at En-Gedi. David lets Saul live. Chapter 24. When Saul got back from fighting off the Philistines, he heard that David was in the desert around En-Gedi. Saul led 3,000 of Israel's best soldiers out to look for David and his men near Wild Goat Rocks at En-Gedi. There were some sheep pens along the side of the road, and one of them was built around the entrance to a cave. Saul went into the cave to relieve himself. David and his men were hiding at the back of the cave. They whispered to David, "The Lord told you he was going to let you defeat your enemies and do whatever you want with them. This must be the day the Lord was talking about." David sneaked over and cut off a small piece of Saul's robe, but Saul didn't notice a thing. Afterwards, David was sorry that he had even done that, and he told his men, "Stop talking foolishly. We're not going to attack Saul. He's my king, and I pray that the Lord will keep me from doing anything to harm his chosen king." Saul left the cave and started down the road. Soon David also got up and left the cave. "Your Majesty!" he shouted from a distance. Saul turned around to look. David bowed down very low and said, "Your Majesty, why do you listen to people who say that I'm trying to harm you? You can see for yourself that the Lord gave me the chance to catch you in the cave today. Some of my men wanted to kill you, but I wouldn't let them do it. I told them, 'I will not harm the Lord's chosen king.' Your Majesty, look at what I'm holding. You can see that it's a piece of your robe. If I could cut off a piece of your robe, I could have killed you. But I let you live, and that should prove I'm not trying to harm you or to rebel. I haven't done anything to you, and yet you keep trying to ambush and kill me. I'll let the Lord decide which one of us has done right. I pray that the Lord will punish you for what you're doing to me, but I won't do anything to you. An old proverb says, 'Only evil people do evil things,' and so I won't harm you. Why should the king of Israel be out chasing me anyway? I'm as worthless as a dead dog or a flea. I pray that the Lord will help me escape and show that I am in the right." "David, my son, is that you?" Saul asked. Then he started crying and said, "David, you're a better person than I am. You treated me with kindness, even though I've been cruel to you. You've told me how you were kind enough not to kill me when the Lord gave you the chance. If you really were my enemy, you wouldn't have let me leave here alive. I pray that the Lord will give you a big reward for what you did today. I realize now that you will be the next king, and a powerful king at that. Promise me with the Lord as your witness that you won't wipe out my descendants. Let them live to keep my family name alive. So David promised, and Saul went home. David and his men returned to their hideout. Samuel dies. Chapter 25. Samuel died, and people from all over Israel gathered to mourn for him when he was buried at his home in Ramah. Meanwhile, David moved his camp to Paran Desert. Abigail keeps David from killing innocent people. Nabal was a very rich man who lived in Maon. He owned 3,000 sheep and 1,000 goats, which he kept at Carmel. His wife Abigail was sensible and beautiful, but he was from the Caleb clan and was rough and mean. One day Nabal was in Carmel, having his servants cut the wool from his sheep. David was in the desert when he heard about it, so he sent 10 men to Carmel with this message for Nabal. I hope that you and your family are healthy and that all is going well for you. I've heard that you are cutting the wool from your sheep. When your shepherds were with us in Carmel, we didn't harm them, and nothing was ever stolen from them. Ask your shepherds, and they'll tell you the same thing. My servants are your servants, and you are like a father to me. This is a day for celebrating, so please be kind and share some of your food with us. David's men went to Nabal and gave him David's message. Then they waited for Nabal's answer. This is what he said. Who does this David think he is? That son of Jesse is just one more slave on the run from his master, and there are too many of them these days. What makes you think I would take my bread, my water, and the meat that I've had cooked for my own servants and give it to you? Besides, I'm not sure that David sent you. The men returned to their camp and told David everything Nabal had said. Everybody, get your swords, David ordered. They all strapped on their swords. 200 men stayed behind to guard the camp, but the other 400 followed David. Meanwhile, one of Nabal's servants told Abigail, David's men were often nearby while we were taking care of the sheep in the fields. They were very good to us. They never hurt us, and nothing was ever stolen from us while they were nearby. With them around day or night, we were as safe as we would have been inside a walled city. David sent some messengers from the desert to wish our master well, but he shouted insults at them. He's a bully who won't listen to anyone. Isn't there something you can do? Please think of something, or else our master and his family and everyone who works for him are all doomed. Abigail quickly got together 200 loaves of bread, 2 large clay jars of wine, the meat from 5 sheep, a large sack of roasted grain, 100 handfuls of raisins, and 200 handfuls of dried figs. She loaded all the food on donkeys and told her servants, "Take this on ahead, and I'll catch up with you." She didn't tell her husband, Nabal, what she was doing. Abigail was riding her donkey on the path that led around the hillside when suddenly she met David and his men heading straight at her. David had just been saying, "I surely wasted my time guarding Nabal's things in the desert and keeping them from being stolen. I was good to him, and now he pays me back with insults. I swear that by morning there won't be a man or boy left from his family or his servants' families. I pray that God will punish me if I don't do it." Abigail quickly got off her donkey and bowed down in front of David. Then she said, "Sir, please let me explain. Don't pay any attention to that good-for-nothing Nabal. His name means fool, and it really fits him. I didn't see the men you sent, but please, take this gift of food that I've brought and share it with your followers. The Lord has kept you from taking revenge and from killing innocent people. But I hope your enemies and anyone else who wants to harm you will end up like Nabal. I swear this by the living Lord and by your life. Please forgive me if I say a little more. The Lord will always protect you and your family because you fight for him. I pray that you won't ever do anything evil as long as you live. The Lord your God will keep you safe when your enemies try to kill you, but he will snatch away their lives quicker than you can throw a rock from a sling. The Lord has promised to do many good things for you, even to make you the ruler of Israel. The Lord will keep his promises to you, and now your conscience will be clear, because you won't be guilty of taking revenge and killing innocent people. When the Lord does all those good things for you, please remember me. David told her, I praise the Lord God of Israel. He must have sent you to meet me today. And you should also be praised. Your good sense kept me from taking revenge and killing innocent people. If you hadn't come to meet me so quickly, every man and boy in Nabal's family and in his servants' families would have been killed by morning. I swear by the living Lord God of Israel who protected you that this is the truth. David accepted the food Abigail had brought. Don't worry, he said. You can go home now. I'll do what you asked. Abigail went back home and found Nabal throwing a party fit for a king. He was very drunk and feeling good, so she didn't tell him anything that night. But when he sobered up the next morning, Abigail told him everything that had happened. Nabal had a heart attack, and he lay in bed as still as a stone. 10 days later, the Lord took his life. David heard that Nabal had died. I praise the Lord, David said. He has judged Nabal guilty for insulting me. The Lord kept me from doing anything wrong, and he made sure that Nabal hurt only himself with his own evil. David and Abigail are married. Abigail was still at Carmel, so David sent messengers to ask her if she would marry him. She bowed down and said, I would willingly be David's slave and wash his servant's feet. Abigail quickly got ready and went back with David's messengers. She rode on her donkey, while 5 of her servant women walked alongside. She and David were married as soon as she arrived. David had earlier married Ahinoam from the town of Jezreel, so both she and Abigail were now David's wives. Meanwhile, Saul had arranged for Michal to marry Paltai, the son of Laish, who came from the town of Galim. David again lets Saul live. Chapter 26. Once again, some people from Ziph went to Gibeah to talk with Saul. David has a hideout on Mount Hakilah, near Jeshimon, out in the desert, they told him. Saul took 3,000 of Israel's best soldiers and went to look for David there in Ziph Desert. Saul set up camp on Mount Hakilah, which is across the road from Jeshimon. But David was hiding out in the desert. When David heard that Saul was following him, he sent some spies to find out if it was true. Then he sneaked up to Saul's camp. He noticed that Saul and his army commander, Abner, the son of Ner, were sleeping in the middle of the camp, with soldiers sleeping all around them. David asked Ahimelech the Hittite and Joab's brother Abishai, "Which one of you will go with me into Saul's camp?" I will, Abishai answered. That same night, David and Abishai crept into the camp. Saul was sleeping, and his spear was stuck in the ground not far from his head. Abner and the soldiers were sound asleep all around him. Abishai whispered, "This time God has let you get your hands on your enemy. I'll pin him to the ground with one thrust of his own spear." "Don't kill him," David whispered back. "The Lord will punish anyone who kills his chosen king. As surely as the Lord lives, the Lord will kill Saul, or Saul will die a natural death or be killed in battle. But I pray that the Lord will keep me from harming his chosen king. Let's grab his spear and his water jar and get out of here." David took the spear and the water jar, then left the camp. None of Saul's soldiers knew what had happened or even woke up. The Lord had made all of them fall sound asleep. David and Abishai crossed the valley and went to the top of the next hill, where they were at a safe distance. "Abner," David shouted toward Saul's army, "can you hear me?" Abner shouted back, "Who dares disturb the king?" "Abner, what kind of a man are you?" David replied. "Aren't you supposed to be the best soldier in Israel? Then why didn't you protect your king? Anyone who went into your camp could have killed him tonight. You're a complete failure. I swear by the living Lord that you and your men deserve to die for not protecting the Lord's chosen king. Look and see if you can find the king's spear and the water jar that were near his head." Saul could tell it was David's voice, and he called out, "David, my son, is that you?" "Yes, it is, Your Majesty. Why are you after me? Have I done something wrong, or have I committed a crime? Please listen to what I have to say. If the Lord has turned you against me, maybe a sacrifice will make him change his mind. But if some people have turned you against me, I hope the Lord will punish them. They have forced me to leave the land that belongs to the Lord, and have told me to worship foreign gods. Don't let me die in a land far away from the Lord. I'm no more important than a flea. Why should the king of Israel hunt me down, as if I were a bird in the mountains?" "David, you had the chance to kill me today, but you didn't. I was very wrong about you. It was a terrible mistake for me to try to kill you. I've acted like a fool, but I'll never try to harm you again. You're like a son to me, so please come back." "Your Majesty, here's your spear. Have one of your soldiers come and get it. The Lord put you in my power today, but you are his chosen king, and I wouldn't harm you. The Lord rewards people who are faithful and live right. I saved your life today, and I pray that the Lord will protect me and keep me safe." "David, my son, I pray that the Lord will bless you and make you successful." David in Philistia. Chapter 27. Saul went back home. David also left, but he thought to himself, "One of these days, Saul is going to kill me. The only way to escape from him is to go to Philistia. Then I'll be outside of Israel, and Saul will give up trying to catch me." David and his 600 men went across the border to stay in Gath with King Achish, the son of Maok. His men brought their families with them. David brought his wife Ahinoam, whose hometown was Jezreel, and he also brought his wife Abigail, who had been married to Nabal from Carmel. When Saul found out that David had run off to Gath, he stopped trying to catch him. One day David was talking with Achish and said, "If you are happy with me, then let me live in one of the towns in the countryside. I'm not important enough to live here with you in the royal city." Achish gave David the town of Ziklag that same day, and Ziklag has belonged to the kings of Judah ever since. David was in Philistia for a year and 4 months. The Geshurites, the Gerzites, and the Amalekites lived in the area from Telem to Shur, and on as far as Egypt, and David often attacked their towns. Whenever David and his men attacked a town, they took the sheep, cattle, donkeys, camels, and the clothing, and killed everyone who lived there. After he returned from a raid, David always went to see Achish, who would ask, "Where did you attack today?" David would answer, "Oh, we attacked some desert town that belonged to the Judah tribe." Sometimes David would say, "Oh, we attacked a town in the desert where the Jerahmeel clan lives." Or, "We attacked a town in the desert where the Kenites live." That's why David killed everyone in the towns he attacked. He thought, "If I let any of them live, they might come to Gath and tell what I've really been doing." David made these raids all the time he was in Philistia. But Achish trusted David and thought, "David's people must be furious with him. From now on, he will have to take orders from me." Saul talks with Samuel's ghost. Chapter 28. Samuel had died some time earlier, and people from all over Israel had attended his funeral in his hometown of Ramah. Meanwhile, Saul had been trying to get rid of everyone who spoke with the spirits of the dead. But one day the Philistines brought their soldiers together to attack Israel. Achish told David, "Of course you know that you and your men must fight as part of our Philistine army." David answered, "That will give you a chance to see for yourself just how well we can fight." "In that case," Achish said, "you and your men will always be my bodyguards." The Philistines went to Shunem and set up camp. Saul called the army of Israel together, and they set up their camp in Gilboa. Saul took one look at the Philistine army and started shaking with fear. So he asked the Lord what to do. But the Lord would not answer, either in a dream or by a priest or a prophet. Then Saul told his officers, "Find me a woman who can talk to the spirits of the dead. I'll go to her and find out what's going to happen." His servants told him, "There's a woman at Endor who can talk to spirits of the dead." That night, Saul put on different clothing so nobody would recognize him. Then he and two of his men went to the woman and asked, "Will you bring up the ghost of someone for us?" The woman said, "Why are you trying to trick me and get me killed? You know King Saul has gotten rid of everyone who talks to the spirits of the dead." Saul replied, "I swear by the living Lord that nothing will happen to you because of this." "Who do you want me to bring up?" she asked. "Bring up the ghost of Samuel," he answered. When the woman saw Samuel, she screamed. Then she turned to Saul and said, "You've tricked me. You're the king." "Don't be afraid," Saul replied. "Just tell me what you see." She answered, "I see a spirit rising up out of the ground." "What does it look like?" "It looks like an old man wearing a robe." Saul knew it was Samuel, so he bowed down low. "Why are you bothering me by bringing me up like this?" Samuel asked. "I'm terribly worried," Saul answered. "The Philistines are about to attack me. God has turned his back on me and won't answer any more by prophets or by dreams. What should I do?" Samuel said, "If the Lord has turned away from you and is now your enemy, don't ask me what to do. I've already told you. The Lord has sworn to take the kingdom from you and give it to David, and that's just what he is doing. When the Lord was angry with the Amalekites, he told you to destroy them, but you didn't do it. That's why the Lord is doing this to you. Tomorrow the Lord will let the Philistines defeat Israel's army. Then you and your sons will join me down here in the world of the dead." At once Saul collapsed and lay stretched out on the floor, terrified at what Samuel had said. He was weak because he had not eaten anything since the day before. The woman came over to Saul, and when she saw that he was completely terrified, she said, "Your Majesty, I listened to you and risked my life to do what you asked. Now please listen to me. Let me get you a little something to eat. It will give you strength for your walk back to camp."
"No, I won't eat."
But his officers and the woman kept on urging Saul until he finally agreed. He got up off the floor and sat on the bed. Right away, the woman killed a calf that she had been fattening up. She cooked part of the meat and baked some thin bread. Then she served the food to Saul and his officers, who ate and left before daylight. The Philistines send David back. Chapter 29. The Philistines had brought their whole army to Aphek, while Israel's army was camping near Jezreel Spring. The Philistine rulers and their troops were marching past the Philistine army commanders in groups of 100 and 1,000, when David and his men marched by at the end with Achish. The commander said, "What are these worthless Israelites doing here?" "They are David's men," Achish answered. "David used to be one of Saul's officers, but he left Saul and joined my army a long time ago. I've never even had one complaint about him." The Philistine army commanders were angry and shouted, "Send David back to the town you gave him. We won't have him going into the battle with us. He could turn and fight against us. Saul would take David back as an officer if David brought him the heads of our soldiers. The Israelites even dance and sing, 'Saul has killed 1,000 enemies, David has killed 10,000 enemies.'" Achish called David over and said, "I swear by the living Lord that you've been honest with me, and I want you to fight by my side. I don't think you've done anything wrong from the day you joined me until this very moment. But the other Philistine rulers don't want you to come along. Go on back home and try not to upset them."
"But what have I done?" David asked.
"Do you know of anything I've ever done that would keep me from fighting the enemies of my king?" Achish said, "I believe you're as good as an angel of God. But our army commanders have decided that you can't fight in this battle. You and your troops will have to go back to the town I gave you. Get up and leave tomorrow morning as soon as it's light. I'm pleased with you, so don't let any of this bother you." David and his men got up early in the morning and headed back toward Philistia, while the Philistines left for Jezreel. David rescues his soldiers' families. Chapter 30. It took David and his men 3 days to reach Ziklag. But while they had been away, the Amalekites had been raiding in the desert around there. They had attacked Ziklag, burned it to the ground, and had taken away the women and children. When David and his men came to Ziklag, they saw the burned-out ruins and learned that their families had been taken captive. They started crying and kept it up until they were too weak to cry any more. David's 2 wives, Ahinoam and Abigail, had been taken captive with everyone else. David was desperate. His soldiers were so upset over what had happened to their sons and daughters that they were thinking about stoning David to death. But he felt the Lord giving him strength, and he said to the priest, "Abiathar, let's ask God what to do." Abiathar brought everything he needed to get answers from God, and he went over to David. Then David asked the Lord, "Should I go after the people who raided our town? Can I catch up with them?" "Go after them," the Lord answered. "You will catch up with them, and you will rescue your families." David led his 600 men to Bezor Gorge, but 200 of them were too tired to go across. So they stayed behind, while David and the other 400 men crossed the gorge. Some of David's men found an Egyptian out in a field and took him to David. They gave the Egyptian some bread, and he ate it. Then they gave him a drink of water, some dried figs, and 2 handfuls of raisins. This was the first time in 3 days he had tasted food or water. Now he felt much better. "Who is your master?" David asked, "and where do you come from?" "I'm from Egypt," the young man answered. "I'm the servant of an Amalekite, but he left me here 3 days ago because I was sick. We had attacked some towns in the desert where the Kerethites live, in the area that belongs to Judah and in the desert where the Caleb clan lives, and we burned down Ziklag." "Will you take me to those Amalekites?" David asked. "Yes, I will, if you promise with God as a witness that you won't kill me or hand me over to my master." He led David to the Amalekites. They were eating and drinking everywhere, celebrating because of what they had taken from Philistia and Judah. David attacked just before sunrise the next day and fought until sunset. 400 Amalekites rode away on camels, but they were the only ones who escaped. David rescued his 2 wives and everyone else the Amalekites had taken from Ziklag. No one was missing, young or old, sons or daughters. David brought back everything that had been stolen, including their livestock. David also took the sheep and cattle that the Amalekites had with them, but he kept these separate from the others. Everyone agreed that these would be David's reward. On the way back, David went to the 200 men he had left at Bezor Gorge because they had been too tired to keep up with him. They came toward David and the people who were with him. When David was close enough, he greeted the 200 men and asked how they were doing. Some of David's men were good for nothings, and they said, "Those men didn't go with us to the battle, so they don't get any of the things we took back from the Amalekites. Let them take their wives and children and go." But David said, "My friends, don't be so greedy with what the Lord has given us. The Lord protected us and gave us victory over the people who attacked. Who would pay attention to you anyway? Soldiers who stay behind to guard the camp get as much as those who go into battle." David made this a law for Israel, and it has been the same ever since. David went back to Ziklag with everything they had taken from the Amalekites. He sent some of these things as gifts to his friends who were leaders of Judah, and he told them, "We took these things from the Lord's enemies. Please accept them as a gift." This is a list of the towns where David sent gifts: Bethel, Ramoth in the southern desert, Jatter, Aroer, Siphmoth, Eshtemoah, Rachel, the towns belonging to the Jerahmeelites and the Kenites, Hormah, Boration, Athak, and Hebron. He also sent gifts to the other towns where he and his men had traveled. Saul and his sons die. Chapter 31. Meanwhile, the Philistines were fighting Israel at Mount Gilboa. Israel's soldiers ran from the Philistines, and many of them were killed. The Philistines closed in on Saul and his sons, and they killed his sons, Jonathan, Abinadab, and Malchishua. The fighting was fierce around Saul, and he was badly wounded by enemy arrows. Saul told the soldier who carried his weapons, "Kill me with your sword. I don't want those worthless Philistines to torture me and make fun." But the soldier was afraid to kill him. Saul then took out his own sword. He stuck the blade into his stomach and fell on it. When the soldier knew that Saul was dead, he killed himself in the same way. Saul was dead, and his 3 sons were dead, and the soldier who carried his weapons was dead. They and all his soldiers died on that same day. The Israelites on the other side of Jezreel Valley and the other side of the Jordan learned that Saul and his sons were dead. They saw that the Israelite army had run away, so they ran away too, and the Philistines moved into the towns the Israelites had left behind. The day after the battle, when the Philistines returned to the battlefield to take the weapons of the dead Israelite soldiers, they found Saul and his three sons lying dead on Mount Gilboa. The Philistines cut off Saul's head and pulled off his armor. Then they put his armor in the temple of the goddess Astarte, and they nailed his body to the city wall of Beth-Shan. They also sent messengers everywhere in Philistia to spread the good news in the temples of their idols and among their people. The people who lived in Jabesh in Gilead heard what the Philistines had done to Saul's body. So one night, some brave men from Jabesh went to Beth-Shan. They took down the bodies of Saul and his sons, then brought them back to Jabesh and burned them. They buried the bones under a small tree in Jabesh, and for 7 days they went without eating to show their sorrow.
This ends 1 Samuel. And now, 2 Samuel.
2 Samuel. About this book, 2 Samuel is actually the second half of a single book that was divided into two parts, 1 and 2 Samuel, because together they were too long to fit on one scroll. Most of 2 Samuel is a history of the rule of King David. After the death of King Saul, the people of the Judah tribe chose David to be their king. And for the next 7 years, David was at war with Saul's son, King Ish-bosheth of Israel. Then David became king of the entire nation. David captured Jerusalem from the Jebusites, made it his new capital, and brought the sacred chest there. He wanted to build a temple to honor the Lord and as a place to keep the sacred chest, but the Lord refused to let him do so. Instead, the Lord promised that David would be a powerful ruler and that one of his descendants would always be king. David conquered the enemies of Israel and became the ruler of a small empire, but he also had an affair with Bathsheba, the wife of an army officer who was away at war. As a result, the Lord allowed David to have serious troubles later on. And many of those troubles came from within his own family. For example, one of David's sons, Amnon, raped David's daughter, Tamar. Amnon was then killed by David's son, Absalom, who later led a rebellion against David. David finds out about Saul's death. Chapter 1. Saul was dead. Meanwhile, David had defeated the Amalekites and returned to Ziklag. 3 days later, a soldier came from Saul's army. His clothes were torn, and dirt was on his head. He went to David and knelt down in front of him. David asked, "Where did you come from?" The man answered, "From Israel's army. I barely escaped with my life." "Who won the battle?" David asked. The man said, "Our army turned and ran, but many were wounded and died. Even King Saul and his son Jonathan are dead." David asked, "How do you know Saul and Jonathan are dead?" The young man replied, "I was on Mount Gilboa and saw King Saul leaning on his spear. The enemy's war chariots and cavalry were closing in on him. When he turned around and saw me, he called me over. I went and asked what he wanted. Saul asked me, 'Who are you?' 'An Amalekite,' I answered. Then he said, 'Kill me. I'm dying, and I'm in terrible pain.' So I killed him. I knew he was too badly wounded to live much longer. Then I took his crown and his armband, and I brought them to you, Your Majesty. Here they are." Right away, David and his soldiers tore their clothes in sorrow. They cried all day long and would not eat anything. Everyone was sad because Saul, his son Jonathan, and many of the Lord's people had been killed in the battle. David asked the young man, "Where is your home?" The man replied, My father is an Amalekite, but we live in Israel. David said to him, Why weren't you afraid to kill the Lord's chosen king? And you even told what you did. It's your own fault that you're going to die. Then David told one of his soldiers, Come here and kill this man. David sings in memory of Saul. David sang a song in memory of Saul and Jonathan, and he ordered his men to teach the song to everyone in Judah. He called it the Song of the Bow, and it can be found in the book of Jasher. This is the song. Israel, your famous hero, lies dead on the hills, and your mighty warriors have fallen. Don't tell it in Gath or spread the news on the streets of Ashkelon. The godless Philistine women will be happy and jump for joy. Don't let dew or rain fall on the hills of Gilboa. Don't let its fields grow offerings for God. There the warrior's shields were smeared with mud, and Saul's own shield was left unpolished. The arrows of Jonathan struck, and warriors died. The sword of Saul cut the enemy apart. It was easy to love Saul and Jonathan, together in life, together in death. They were faster than eagles and stronger than lions. Women of Israel, cry for Saul. He brought you fine red cloth and jewelry made of gold. Our warriors have fallen in the heat of battle, and Jonathan lies dead on the hills of Gilboa. Jonathan, I miss you most. I loved you like a brother. You were truly loyal to me, more faithful than a wife to her husband. Our warriors have fallen, and their weapons are destroyed. David becomes king of Judah. Chapter 2. Later David asked the Lord, Should I go back to one of the towns of Judah? The Lord answered, Yes. David asked, Which town should I go to? Go to Hebron, the Lord replied. David went to Hebron with his two wives, Ahinoam and Abigail. Ahinoam was from Jezreel, and Abigail was the widow of Nabal from Carmel. David also had his men and their families come and live in the villages near Hebron. The people of Judah met with David at Hebron and poured olive oil on his head to show that he was their new king. Then they told David, The people from Jabesh in Gilead buried Saul. David sent messengers to tell them, The Lord bless you. You were kind enough to bury Saul, your ruler, and I pray that the Lord will be kind and faithful to you. I will be your friend because of what you have done. Saul is dead, but the tribe of Judah has made me their king. So be strong and have courage. Ish-bosheth becomes king of Israel. Abner, the son of Ner, had been the general of Saul's army. He took Saul's son, Ish-bosheth, across the Jordan River to Mahanaim, and made him king of Israel, including the areas of Gilead, Asher, Jezreel, Ephraim, and Benjamin. Ish-bosheth was 40 years old at the time, and he ruled for 2 years. But the tribe of Judah made David their king, and he ruled from Hebron for 7.5 years. The war between David and Ish-bosheth. One day, Abner and the soldiers of Ish-bosheth left Mahanaim and went to Gibeon. Meanwhile, Joab, the son of Zeruiah, was leading David's soldiers, and the two groups met at the pool in Gibeon. Abner and his men sat down on one side of the pool, while Joab and his men sat on the other side. Abner yelled to Joab, "Let's have some of our best soldiers get up and fight each other." Joab agreed, and 12 of Ish-bosheth's men from the tribe of Benjamin got up to fight 12 of David's men. They grabbed each other by the hair and stabbed each other in the side with their daggers. They all died right there. That's why the place in Gibeon is called Field of Daggers. Then everyone started fighting. Both sides fought very hard, but David's soldiers defeated Abner and the soldiers of Israel. Zeruiah's three sons were there, Joab, Abishai, and Asahel. Asahel could run as fast as a deer in an open field, and he ran straight after Abner without looking to the right or to the left. When Abner turned and saw him, he said, "Is that you, Asahel?" Asahel answered, "Yes, it is." Abner said, "There are soldiers all around. Stop chasing me and fight one of them. Kill him and take his clothes and weapons for yourself." But Asahel refused to stop. Abner said, "If you don't turn back, I'll have to kill you. Then I could never face your brother Joab again." But Asahel would not turn back. So Abner struck him in the stomach with the back end of his spear. The spear went all the way through and came out of his back. Asahel fell down and died. Everyone who saw Asahel lying dead just stopped and stood still. But Joab and Abishai went after Abner. Finally, about sunset, they came to the hill of Ammah, not far from Gaia on the road to Gibeon Desert. Abner brought the men of Benjamin together in one group on top of a hill, and they got ready to fight. Abner shouted to Joab, "Aren't we ever going to stop killing each other? Don't you know that the longer we keep on doing this, the worse it's going to be when it's all over? When are you going to order your men to stop chasing their own relatives?" Joab shouted back, "I swear by the living God, if you hadn't spoken, my men would have chased their relatives all night." Joab took his trumpet and blew the signal for his soldiers to stop chasing the soldiers of Israel. Right away, the fighting stopped. Abner and his troops marched through the Jordan River Valley all that night. Then they crossed the river and marched all morning until they arrived back at Mahanaim. As soon as Joab stopped chasing Abner, he got David's troops together and counted them. There were 19 missing besides Asahel. But David's soldiers had killed 360 of Abner's men from the tribe of Benjamin. Joab and his troops carried Asahel's body to Bethlehem and buried him in the family burial place. Then they marched all night and reached Hebron before sunrise. Chapter 3. This battle was the beginning of a long war between the followers of Saul and the followers of David. Saul's power grew weaker, but David's grew stronger. David's sons born in Hebron. Several of David's sons were born while he was living in Hebron. His oldest son was Amnon, whose mother was Ahinoam from Jezreel. David's second son was Kileab, whose mother was Abigail, who had been married to Nabal from Carmel. Absalom was the third. His mother was Maacah, the daughter of King Talmai of Geshur. The fourth was Adonijah, whose mother was Haggith. The fifth was Shephatiah, whose mother was Abital. The sixth was Ithream, whose mother was Eglah, another one of David's wives. Abner decides to help David. As the war went on between the families of David and Saul, Abner was gaining more power than ever in Saul's family. He had even slept with the wife of Saul by the name of Rizpah, the daughter of Aiah. But Saul's son, Ish-bosheth, told Abner, "You shouldn't have slept with one of my father's wives." Abner was very angry at what Ish-bosheth had said, and he told Ish-bosheth, Am I some kind of worthless dog from Judah? I've always been loyal to your father's family and to his relatives and friends. I haven't turned you over to David, and yet you talk to me as if I've committed a crime with this woman. I ask God to punish me if I don't help David get what the Lord promised him. God said that he wouldn't let anyone in Saul's family ever be king again, and that David would be king instead. He also said that David would rule both Israel and Judah, all the way from Dan in the north to Beersheba in the south. Ish-bosheth was so afraid of Abner that he could not even answer. Abner sent some of his men to David with this message. You should be the ruler of the whole nation. If you make an agreement with me, I will persuade everyone in Israel to make you their king. David sent this message back. Good. I'll make an agreement with you. But before I will even talk with you about it, you must get Saul's daughter Michal back for me. David sent a few of his officials to Ish-bosheth to give him this message. Give me back my wife Michal. I killed 100 Philistines so I could marry her. Ish-bosheth sent some of his men to take Michal away from her new husband, Paltiel, the son of Laish. Paltiel followed Michal and the men all the way to Bahurim, crying as he walked. But he went back home after Abner ordered him to leave. Abner talked with the leaders of the tribes of Israel and told them, You've wanted to make David your king for a long time now, so do it. After all, God said he would use his servant David to rescue his people Israel from their enemies, especially from the Philistines. Finally, Abner talked with the tribe of Benjamin. Then he left for Hebron to tell David everything that the tribe of Benjamin and the rest of the people of Israel wanted to do. Abner took 20 soldiers with him, and when they got to Hebron, David gave a big feast for them. After the feast, Abner said, Your Majesty, let me leave now and bring Israel here to make an agreement with you. You'll be king of the whole nation, just as you've been wanting. David told Abner he could leave, and he left without causing any trouble. Joab kills Abner. Soon after Abner had left Hebron, Joab and some of David's soldiers came back, bringing a lot of things they had taken from an enemy village. Right after they arrived, someone told Joab, Abner visited the king, and the king let him go. Abner even left without causing any trouble. Joab went to David and said, What have you done? Abner came to you and you let him go. Now he's long gone. You know Abner. He came to trick you. He wants to find out how strong your army is and to know everything you're doing. Joab left David. Then he sent some messengers to catch up with Abner. They brought him back from the well at Syrah, but David did not know anything about it. When Abner returned to Hebron, Joab pretended he wanted to talk privately with him. So he took Abner into one of the small rooms that were part of the town gate and stabbed him in the stomach. Joab killed him because Abner had killed Joab's brother, Asahel. Abner's funeral. David heard how Joab had killed Abner, and he said, I swear to the Lord that I am completely innocent of Abner's death. Joab and his family are the guilty ones. I pray that Joab's family will always be sick with sores and other skin diseases. May they all be cowards, and may they die in war or starve to death. Joab and his brother Abishai killed Abner because he had killed their brother Asahel in the battle at Gibeon. David told Joab and everyone with him, Show your sorrow by tearing your clothes and wearing sackcloth. Walk in front of Abner's body and cry. David walked behind the stretcher on which Abner's body was being carried. Abner was buried in Hebron, while David and everyone else stood at the tomb and cried loudly. Then the king sang a funeral song about Abner. Abner, why should you have died like an outlaw? No one tied your hands or chained your feet, yet you died as a victim of murderers. Everyone started crying again. Then they brought some food to David and told him he would feel better if he had something to eat. It was still daytime, and David said, I swear to God that I'll not take a bite of bread or anything else until sunset. Everyone noticed what David did, and they liked it, just as they always liked what he did. Now the people of Judah and Israel were certain that David had nothing to do with killing Abner. David said to his officials, Don't you realize that today one of Israel's great leaders has died? I am the chosen king, but Joab and Abishai have more power than I do, so God will have to pay them back for the evil thing they did. Ish-bosheth is killed. Chapter 4 Ish-bosheth felt like giving up after he heard that Abner had died in Hebron. Everyone in Israel was terrified. Ish-bosheth had put the two brothers, Baanah and Rechab, in charge of the soldiers who raided enemy villages. Rimmon was their father, and they were from the town of Beeroth, which belonged to the tribe of Benjamin. The people who used to live in Beeroth had run away to Gideam, and they still live there. Saul's son, Jonathan, had a son named Mephibosheth, who had not been able to walk since he was 5 years old. It happened when someone from Jezreel told his nurse that Saul and Jonathan had died. She hurried off with the boy in her arms, but he fell and injured his legs. One day, about noon, Rechab and Baanah went to Ish-bosheth's house. It was a hot day, and he was resting in his bedroom. The two brothers went into the house, pretending to get some flour. But once they were inside, they stabbed Ish-bosheth in the stomach and killed him. Then they cut off his head and